listen, you know what? I haven't come to impress you. I gave up on that a long time ago. I haven't come to wow you. In a sense of speaking, conference speakers, preachers, don't get mad at me, pastors or other ministry leaders, but they're a dime a dozen. You know, we've been talking for the past several days about what I feel that God has really laid on my heart for quite some time now, and that's the passing of an old season and the arrival of a new one. And the day of speakers / preachers blowing up, blowing out, and getting an honorarium for it are over with. Everybody say old season. Okay, what's happening right now is the Spirit of God is releasing some things that I believe have been held back by the hand of God since the beginning of time until this time.
Yes.
And we are the people. It's not going to happen with anybody else. We are the people. It's going to go on our watch. We're the people that are going to be eyewitnesses and for that matter, ear witnesses to the things of God that have now come with the arrival of this new season. I say the arrival of it because for so long we've had the things of God out there on its way sometime. You know, God's going to do something great and mighty, or something's on the way, or this, that, and the other. Well, the things of God that He has for us have already arrived. And we have found ourselves to be the people that are going to experience the things that God is going to release. I think that we're in the days of, for a lack of a better way of putting them, we're in the days of awe when it comes to God. We are in the days of awe when it comes to God. By that I mean this. In the book of Isaiah chapter 60, it says, "Arise and shine, for thy light has come. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon thee." It goes on to say, though darkness cover the earth and gross darkness the people of the earth, it says something to this effect, it won't come on thee. Now listen to me. If we've ever been in a day where darkness is covering the earth, where it's been going on for since the beginning of time. But now darkness is truly saturating and covering the earth. It's just not one part of the globe or one nationality or one nation, one continent. It's the entire planet Earth. Darkness is now covering our world. And to make things more interesting, not only is the darkness covering the earth, but gross darkness is covering the people of the earth. I think I'm in good company, and I think I'm safe enough in saying that gross darkness that's covering the peoples of this earth is happening right now at an accelerated rate. Let me give you a good quick example. I'll use my own country for this, the United States. Never before did I ever think in my lifetime, and I'm only 53, but never in my lifetime did I ever think I would see college-degreed professional, wise, brainiac people who make the laws in our land. Never before did I ever think I would see, and this is a controversial statement, I realize that, even here in New Zealand, but never did I think I'd ever see where college degreed, educated, brilliant-minded professional lawmakers trying to come up with a correct meaning of the word marriage. Now, Dee Dee and I have three grandsons, and relax, I'm not going to do I'm not homophobic, and I'm not going to do a big campaign against gay rights, gay marriage, or nothing like that. But it is a great example of how gross darkness is covering the peoples of the earth. But now that I've mentioned that topic, I will say this much. It's an excellent, excellent opportunity, now that we're in this new season, to show people the love of God in such an unrestrained way that the love that we show them that will lead them to kindness, that will lead them to real repentance. You can call me old-fashioned, you can call me old school, call me whatever you want, I've been called it all, but I really stick to what God's Word has to say. Right now, if you've ever chained, so to speak, your arms around the Word of God and hold on to it for dear life, Now's the season that you need to do that. If it's not in the Word of God, I don't care how popular it is. I don't care who in the neighborhood is doing it. I don't care who in your household is embracing it. I don't care who thinks it's all right. It's not my problem. I can't help if everybody in the world thinks that black is now white, white is now black, what was wrong is now right, and what was right is now wrong. Doesn't matter to me. If God says it's wrong, it's still wrong. And if God says it's right, it's still right. If God says it's sin, it's still sin. I know this isn't popular. I know this isn't the latest stuff that they're teaching on the conference circuit. But I want to be popular. I really did. I really, really did. I really wanted to be popular. I want everybody to like me. I want everybody to love me. And already I can see a few scowls. That's okay. I'm okay with that. And but I'm on a mandate for God, and I have a commission and an assignment from God. And that somebody's got to get up, and I'm not the only one. I represent a company of hundreds of thousands, if not even millions of believers, who are now getting, we've shed our grave clothes, we've come out of our caves, we're coming out of our hiding places, and in the most darkest of times, we've made up our mind, live or die, come what may, we're going to stand on the Word of God, and we're going to believe what's true, and we're going to not be afraid and not be ashamed to flip the light switch and shine in the darkness. Can I get a witness? So, having said that, that is just one way, one quick example of how what we're dealing with today, and that's just look up here at me. It's just a malfunction back there. It's not the tribulation period. Now, listen. But the Bible says darkness will cover the earth, gross darkness will cover the peoples of the earth. When it comes to homosexuality and the whole gay rights agenda in America and all throughout the world, God is as madly and as passionately in love with people, irregardless, irrespective of their sexual preferences, choices, or anything like that. And what I'm trying to simply communicate on that issue is simply this. We still have to love the sinner and hate the sin. Within everyone in this building lies the propensity and the capability of committing the world's most grossest act of sin. So before you go pat yourself on the back and go home and toast to yourself and just marvel in your greatness, always remember that what you're tuning in watching on the news as they're reporting the evils of the inner city somewhere, and what we're seeing happening and unfolding daily anymore in our whole entire world, atrocities and crimes that no one in this room would have ever dreamed of hearing reporters report upon, the gross things that people are, the acts that people are doing. Nonetheless, stay with me, stare at me. Take Jesus Christ out of your life. You and I are just as capable of doing that very same thing or worse. Yes, in our flesh dwells no good thing. In our flesh dwells no good thing. In our flesh dwells no good thing. The good news, the great news, the happy news, the joyful news is, thanks be unto God who has delivered us from all of that through Christ Jesus, his Son. If any man be in Christ, old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Let me give you a good example of this. In the book of Matthew, and I'm reading from the Message translation, the book of Matthew chapter 3 verse 11 says this, and it's John the Baptist talking. He says, I'm baptizing you here in the river, turning your old life in for a kingdom life. He's baptizing people, common people like you and me. He's baptizing them in real water in the river of Jordan. And he's saying, I'm baptizing you here in the river, turning your old life in for a kingdom life. The real action comes next. The main character in this drama, compared to him, I'm a mere stagehand. He's speaking of Jesus. Let me do it again. I'm baptizing you here in the river, turning your old life in for a kingdom life. The real action comes next. The main character in this drama, Jesus. Compared to him, I'm a mere stagehand. Jesus is going to ignite the kingdom life within you. John's saying, I'm baptizing you here in the water, And symbolically, all it means is you're exchanging and trading your old life in for a new one, the kingdom life. Stay with me. Just because you have the kingdom life within you does you no good. Jesus comes after John, and John says of him, he will ignite the kingdom life within you. It's one thing to have the kingdom life inside you. It's an altogether different thing to have that kingdom life which you have ignited. Okay? So he's saying, somebody's coming, his name is Jesus, and he will ignite the kingdom life within you, a fire within you, the Holy Spirit within you, changing you. Whoa, there's a big bad word, change. The Holy Spirit changing you. The Holy Spirit changing you. The Holy Spirit changing you from the inside out. He's going to clean house. Make a clean sweep of your life. He'll place everything true in its proper place before God. Everything false will be put out with the trash to be burned. Now, bet you they didn't teach you that in Sunday school. Okay? But here's where we're at right now. And stay with me. I'm not mad and I'm not angry. I'm just very, very, very concerned where we're at right now and what's going on. How many of you, for example, have ever heard of the word the rapture, the phrase the rapture? Okay, about 2/3 of you. All right. The rapture. What the rapture is, for those who believe in it, and I was taught in the reality of the rapture, and I'm not going to argue is there one, is there not one. And if there is one, I'm not going to debate with anybody. Is it going to be pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib? I don't care if it's pre, mid, post. If there is one, I want to be ready to go. Because I don't want to be left behind if it does take place. And according to Scripture, if there is a real rapture, according to the way the Holy Scriptures indicate this event, what's scary here is we're there now. It can happen any time now. Personally, and I've not come to do a prophetic class tonight, but personally, I believe we are about to see within the very, very near future the introduction of a one world leader and the formation of a one world government, a one world currency system, and not long thereafter, a one world religion. And I think you would agree with me, we are seeing the ingredients to all of this put into the mixing bowl right now. Are we at least in agreement on that? Okay, thank you. I just want to make sure. Now listen, life as you knew it, I'm going to be kind and say 6 months ago is over. I can't pinpoint when it happened. I can't pinpoint how it happened. But it's like we went to bed one night and we woke up and a whole new season was there to greet us in the morning, okay? This is a dark season. This is a very bad season for some. This is the most awesome season and the most brilliant season and the most joyful of all seasons in your lifetime for some. We are now in the days where it's going to be the best of times, the worst of times. How that affects and plays out with every one of us as individuals totally depends on our relationship with Jesus Christ. Stare at me. Did you get what I said? It doesn't depend on what church you attend. I'm not mean. I am not mean. And I'm not church bashing. Okay? But it has nothing to do with what church you attend. It has nothing to do with whatever office, leadership position, or any of that kind of thing that you may hold in your church. It has nothing to do with the denomination you may be a member or a part of. If you want to be found enjoying the greatest days of your life as a born-again, spirit-filled believer who is being anointed by God as never before to do the very thing that you were put on earth to do, and that is to heal the sick, raise dead people, cleanse the lepers, and cast out demons by Hosea, then you're now in the right appropriate season and era where you're going to see and hear of that kind of activity erupting and happening everywhere around the world. Okay? Why is that? Why is that? Thank you for asking. It is simply because God was first before Satan. There was God before there was Satan. God always has been, he still is, and he always will be. Some time ago, God gave me this word, and he says, a billion, trillion, 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 quadrillion years from now, after everyone has arrived to heaven as their final home, no one will have ever seen all of heaven. Why? Because of my kingdom, there is no end. No, people have asked me, Jim, what do you think's in heaven? Let's talk about heaven for a second. And I'm being mindful of the time. Let's talk about heaven for a second. Let's have some fun here. Let's talk about our homeland. Because that's where we came from, by the way. And I don't want to get into all that. But people ask me, what do you think is in heaven? Some people have asked me, do you think there are theme parks and amusement parks in heaven? I don't know. Personally, I haven't been there and rode on one, so I don't know. I don't know if they're there. I don't know if they're not. People have asked me, do you think there are coffee shops and bakeries and stuff like that in heaven? I said, I don't know. I don't know. The only food I've ever heard of in heaven is the marriage supper of the Lamb and manna. So I don't know. I don't know. People have asked me, do you think there are going to be like shopping malls? Are we going to exchange Tinder in heaven? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. And newsflash, I don't give a flipping care. I personally will be so ecstatic to set feet once again on my homeland soil and behold the Lamb of God, who loved the human race so with such abandon that he was willing to take on human form, human flesh, and have his skin ripped right off of him, have his brain swell twice the size in its skull, and literally be beaten to where nothing was, everything was exposed down to the very nerve in his spinal cord. That takes precedent, having a face-to-face moment with him is better and more meaningful than bakeries, amusement parks, and all of that stuff in heaven. I don't care if I'm getting a mansion. Some people say they're a mansion. Some people say they're not. They're condominiums. Some say they are apartment complexes. I don't know. I don't know. I know this much. When I go home to heaven, I don't care where I live. I want to go. I want to go. If there are homes, private homes, the first thing I want to do, I want to go back. I want to see Jesus. And then the very next thing, I want to go to my parents' home and I want to sit with them and I want to reminisce and catch up. Yeah. Next to that, I don't plan on being home for long periods of time anyway. Because I will have just been brought back to a paradise that we even get to touch and communicate and dialogue with the men that were inspired by God to write the Word of God. We get to go anytime we want to a live angels concert. Wow. When you're through with the Angels concert on your way back for a tea or a cup of coffee, I mean, if you can believe there are amusement parks, you should not have any struggle with that one. But on your way home from an Angels concert, you can always swing a left, perhaps, and take in a lecture from Martin Luther. If you don't want to go hear a lecture from Martin Luther, you can always go sit and chit-chat with the 12 disciples. Or the 11. If you don't want to do that, ladies, you might be interested in signing up for a morning tea with the handmaiden of all handmaidens, Mary, who was selected by God as her earth destiny to give birth to the earth vessel that was considered worthy enough to bear the sins of a whole human race, Mary. I personally want to spend an afternoon with Joseph and pick his brain and see what it felt like having the awesome responsibility of raising the Messiah. And as if that weren't enough to know that when you enter in this homeland, one of the first things I believe that you do is you're processed. Now, I have an imagination. Religion has taught us to put that precious gift down in the basement. But God gave you an imagination. And right now, He's breathing on our imaginations. Imaginations lead to terrific, I believe, if they're sanctified by God, to divine creativity. So, therefore, I'm just going to put myself in this. I can't wait till I get right there to the river of life, and I walk in till it's over my head, and I discover that I'm able to breathe underwater effortlessly and communicate with the sea life. And as I walk through the river and I come out of it, I am instantaneously dressed in new garments, and they're dry instantly. But it's washed away any residue of my earth life, and now it's washed me and made me ready and acceptable for my kingdom life. The blood of Jesus qualified me to get there. Yes. Woo. Wow. Amen. All right, enough of that. Isn't that nice, though? Yeah. To know you can never get indigestion in heaven, heartburn. Man, isn't it great to know in heaven you don't have excess gas? Isn't it great to know in heaven there's no cancer, no AIDS, no HIV, no diabetes, no heart disease, no leukemia, no deafness, no blindness, no physical disorder or ailment of any kind? Isn't it nice to know that there are no ventilators, feeding tubes, breathing machines, life support systems in heaven? Isn't it nice to know there are no hospitals, doctor's offices, medical clinics, and imaging centers in heaven? Isn't it nice to know there are no universities and no colleges and no schools per se in heaven? Why? Because we all have the mind of Christ. In heaven, the littlest child's brain activity and mind capacity is far superior to Albert Einstein's. Isn't that nice? Isn't it nice to know that in heaven you will need no car? No parking spaces. No rush hour. How are we going to get around? I don't know, but I have my own theory. I think we'll be able to travel by just, I don't know if you got to close your eyes or not, but I think we can travel just by thinking it. I think I'll go hang out with Julie for a while. Boom, I'm there. Hey, Jules. That or we'll glide. Or we'll fly, standing up. I don't know. Will we have wings? I don't know. But I know one thing. No one is going to care or have a complaint in heaven. There'll be no church people grumbling. There'll be no conference attenders standing in the line for a refund because the speaker didn't deliver what they thought he or she should have. There won't be the merchandising and the glory flea market of our books, tapes, and CDs. You won't need a glory hoop. You won't need a glory banner. You won't need the latest, greatest designer anointing oil from Jerusalem. You won't need it. You won't need your prayer shawls. You won't need all that stuff. You won't need antidepressants. You won't need anti-depression medication. You won't need bipolar medication. You won't need medication for schizophrenia. You won't need pills to help you get up in the morning and a pill to put you down at night and a pill to sustain you throughout the day. You won't need a divorce recovery workshop. You won't need an AA meeting. You won't need a Narcotics Anonymous workshop. You won't need a class. My dog got hit by a car. My cat died in the front yard. Recovery clinic. You won't need Johnny's on dope and Susie come home with the pregnancy notice clinic. You won't need the counseling. You won't need the therapy. You won't need inner healing. You won't need deliverance from the demonic. You won't need your marriage worked on because in heaven, there is no male nor female. Everyone, including the TV preachers, them that make it, including the big conference speakers. You won't need it. Seriously. Why? Because in heaven, everyone, bring it on, Jesus, everyone's on the same level. In heaven, the only hero, the only big shot is Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. In heaven, if you do want to take in a Martin Luther seminar, you won't walk all the way up to the front and see reserved seating signs for the rich and the famous. Or the biggest tithe payers. You won't need all that in heaven. Because the only famous person is Jesus. Now, what I've simply tried to do is whet your appetite just a little bit and to tell you that all of this is available to you right now. Jim, that's baloney. No, it isn't. His word says that the kingdom of heaven is within us. If the kingdom of heaven is within us, then the King of heaven is within us. Christ in you, the hope of all glory. If the kingdom of heaven is within us, and then the King is within us. If the King is there, then His throne is there. If His throne is there, then His throne room, the Holy of Holies, is there. Wow, Jim, tell me more. Thank you, I will. That means that you and I really are carriers of the Holy of Holies. We are carriers of the presence of Almighty God, and we are releasers of His glory. Now, this is where I may lose some. I believe one of the reasons why God will wipe away every tear from our eyes when we get there is because of this. Why would God need to wipe away every tear from our eye when we get to heaven? There'll be nothing to cry about other than tears of joy, but it doesn't indicate that. He'll wipe away every tear from our eye when we get to heaven. Why is that? I am convinced and firmly believe it is because when we do cross over into heaven, we will all be reduced to tears when we see everything that was accessible and readily made available to us in our assignment on earth that we wouldn't believe in and we went without. John says, I'm baptizing you here in the river, turning your old life in for a kingdom life. Everybody say, I've got the kingdom life. But the real action comes next. The main character in this drama, compared to him, I'm a mere stagehand. Jesus Christ. Everybody say, Jesus Christ will ignite. Jesus Christ will ignite the kingdom life within me. The kingdom life is inside of me. I don't have to go get it. I can rest from trying to enter into something that already entered into me. I knew that would happen. Stay with me. For so long, we've been trying to enter into something that's already entered into us. What is that? The kingdom of God. What is God wanting you and I to do right now? There is but one message that has to go forth in this new season. And that is the message of Jesus Christ, Him crucified, risen from the dead, and coming again. Can I get an amen on that? The world needs to know that there is hope now in these darkest of times. God has called every one of you, He's called every one of us to be glowworms. In essence, we are called to glow in the dark. But I wonder how many people really are readily available to do this, to do such a thing. And by that I mean this. Just because you have the kingdom of God within you doesn't mean it's been ignited. Every one of you tonight, this evening, in this room, you have the ability, you have the invite to walk out that door in a few moments with a fresh flame of fire burning on your head and deep within your innermost being. Why? Because God wants to release a fresh flame of fire, and this is the fire that He's been holding back for such a time as this. Why? What is this flame of fire? It is the fire of the Holy Ghost that God wants to reignite and burn brightly within you. Why is that? Everybody stops to watch fire burn. You set this downtown, right down the street here, set a building on fire, there'll be a blockade of traffic for miles on end. Why is that? Because people have to stop and watch something burn. If the world stops and watches a building burn, what do you think they'll do when you get lit with the fire of the Holy Ghost? Come on, I'm going to say that again. You didn't get it. If the world will stop and watch a building burn, what do you think they'll do when you're burning up with the fire of the Holy Ghost? Well, Jim, I don't know if I really want that or not. Then you don't have to receive this. But this is what's coming right now in this new season. It's for mature audiences only. Grow up time has now come to our home. Grow up time has now come to our lives. In the old season, God tolerated spiritual immaturity. Why was He tolerating that? Because He's kind. And He figured His kindness would lead us to repentance. But people haven't necessarily repented. They've apologized. Mm-hmm. We've been taught as children, tell the Lord you're sorry. And when people, I've done the same thing. When people say, well, we need to repent of our sins. Well, Father, I'm sorry for all the things I've done. I'm sorry for all the things I've committed. Well, that's nice. It helps. God's not upset with that, but He wants true repentance. Stay with me. This is where it's going to, in fact, I'm going to give you about 5 seconds. Fasten your seatbelt and pull it a little tighter. Go ahead. You're going to need to. Old season, we had the kindness of God. New season, hey, I don't like this any more than you do. I don't. I mean, I'd much rather come here this evening and let's just have a fire tunnel, a Holy Ghost party. Let's get our teeth filled with gold. Let glitter appear on our clothes and let feathers fall from heaven all over the place till we look like a whole bunch of pillows. I mean, everybody's wanting to see these awesome Holy Ghost manifestations. But guess what? Holy Spirit's been releasing these things on credit. Now, it's time to pay up. Pay up with what? Salvation is and always has been free. The anointing of the Holy Spirit has a price tag. And it's expensive. How much is it, Jim? Thank you for asking, ladies and gentlemen. It will cost you everything. Here are the people in the days, weeks, months, and years ahead that I want laying hands on me, anointing me with oil, and praying a prayer of faith over me. It's people who have laid down their lives for the cause of Jesus Christ and have entered into Christ and have never looked for a way back out of Him, who have completely been lost and hidden in Christ. That's the person that's going to be conducting kingdom business in the days ahead. Not a lot of amening going on right now. That's okay. You'll remember my chubby face and my big mouth up the road. Seriously. See, in old season, we would pray for the sick and stand there and pull their legs. And that had its place, I guess. In new season, you don't have to do all that stuff. In new season, I doubt that you'll even have to lay hands on anybody. In fact, in this new season, I don't think you'll even have to pray for the sick. Why is that, Jim? Because Jesus never prayed for healing for anyone. Read the Gospels. He never prayed for anybody to be healed. He simply healed them. And He said, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these shall you do. In this new, look this way, in this new season, whoa, I believe shadow healing is here. That's what I want, shadow healing. What shadow healing, Jim? We'll go back to the New Testament in the days of the inception of the early church. Peter was so filled with the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Peter was filled with the Holy Ghost. Read it. In Acts chapter 1, the promise of the Holy Spirit is made. Acts chapter 2, the promise is fulfilled. And they were all assembled together in one mind and one accord in the upper room. And on the day of Pentecost, a rushing mighty wind filled the house. And there was a cloven tongue of fire that sat on every head. And the whole place, everybody was filled with the Holy Ghost. And bada yida hada hada huda shundai. Evidence and the purpose of the Holy Spirit is laid out there right in front of us in Acts chapter 3. You were not baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost and fire to speak in tongues. Whoa, this is going to be a controversial comment. Speaking in tongues is a byproduct. In comparison to the fruit that the Holy Spirit's supposed to be producing in our lives. The enemy can copycat anything, but he cannot copycat the fruit of the Spirit. Yeah. witches and warlocks can perform signs and wonders, but a Holy Ghoster on fire with the fire of God Almighty. Days of Elijah. You got to love that man. Whoa, you got to love that man. Whoa, you got to love that guy. He told them, go ahead, let your prophets go first. I'll wait and go last. And the God who answers by fire, that's the one we're going to serve. Is it not right? Well, they all did their thing. And then Elijah encounters a lovely woman. Named Jezebel. That demon wants full control of all the activity of the church. She wants to run the show. She wants to manipulate, dominate, intimidate, control, and everything. We are in a season where if you are not filled with the, and don't get me wrong about speaking in tongues, that's the language of heaven. You have to do that. You need to do that. You should have been at our church, the church we grew up in, the denominational church in the States. The first time anybody ever told everybody corporately, everybody just start speaking or singing in tongues. About 90% of the people there got up and left. They didn't feel like they were allowed to do such a thing. I don't know. I guess you worked yourself up in a lather and through prayer and worship and all that until you felt like you wanted to speak. Listen, you have to have the Holy Ghost and fire burning in you right now in this new season. In this new season, as it was in the days of Elijah, as it was in the days of John the Baptist, the spirit of Elijah, which is the Holy Spirit, is now being poured out in mass on such a level that when Peter had, in the book of Acts, when Peter, chapter 3, the purpose for receiving the Holy Spirit in chapter 2, Peter and John are now walking to the temple for prayer. They had been going to the temple for prayer day in and day out. And there was a lame man laying at the gate called Beautiful. If you guys have heard me speak before, you've seen me illustrate this, but maybe some new people here haven't. Come with me. Would you come with me? And would you help me? Yeah. Yeah, so lay down. Roll over. Okay, you're Peter, you're John. Okay, these two men, oh God, help me to, Lord, I pray right now, anoint my tongue to articulate this the way that you want it to be. And in the name of Jesus, I bypass the intellect and the brain of mortal man. Father, take this word and drive it right into their spirit, man, into their innermost being of their spirit. Why? Because God is not in the mood right now to appeal and make sense to your human intellect and your natural wisdom. If you're going to try to make sense out of this, you're not going to be able to. That's why most people walk around saying, well, that really didn't bear witness with my... Oh, come on. No, because it didn't bear witness because you can't wrap your mind around it. The things of the Spirit cannot be perceived by nothing else than your born-again spirit. So here's Peter and John. They were in the upper room. These two men got filled with the Holy Spirit. They didn't get a little bit. They didn't get a whole lot. They got filled. Everybody say, over your heads. You know, it's like the swimming lesson in the book of Ezekiel. They got into the water ankle deep. Ankle deep's better than nothing. It's better than nothing. A little Holy Spirit's better than nothing, people say. So they keep walking and they keep walking. You better be careful, because if you start pressing into the things of God, you're going to get in a little deeper till it gets up to your kneecaps. Isn't that nice? Everybody say knee level.
Knee
level, but there's something wrong with knee level. You can still walk around and swish around. Which is what a lot of believers do. They're making a whole big splash. Listen, old season, splashing. New season? No, new season, this is where it happens. This is where it counts. Stay with me. They're in up to their knees, but they can still swish around, move about. All right, they go deeper, they're up to their waist. Everybody say waist deep. Now you're deeper. Now you're deep in the things of God. And you are. You've made some advances. You've made some serious leaps of quantum faith in God and in the Holy Spirit. But what's wrong with this? You can still stand. You can still, you, stare at me, this level, you are still in control. You know what happens when you get on over your head? You have no control. You have no say in anything. You are completely reliant on Holy Spirit to keep you above the water. Come on, somebody. And so these two guys just got filled with the Holy Ghost. When you get filled with the Holy Spirit, you now have 20/20 vision. Don't tell me you have 20/20 vision if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. All you have is earthly vision. How dare you be content with earthly vision when you were created by God to be able to see and hear in two worlds at the exact same time? So now they have 20/20 vision for the first time in their life. Stay with me. How do you know that, Jim? I can tell you. Because that man was laid there at that gate called Beautiful day in and day out. He was there all the time they were walking in before Acts chapter 2.
Yeah, that's right.
They never paid this man, otherwise known as the harvest. How do you know when you've had a great conference? When people will walk out, not burdened down with a bunch of books, tapes, and CDs, but they walk out so lit with the fire of God that the whole town is changed by the power of God Almighty. I'm tired of great meetings, but no change in the city. No change in government. No change in New Zealand. No change in the United States. No change in the world. But there's a new season that has arrived. And I'm going to tell you, you are going to effect change everywhere you go. Whoa! So these guys see him for the first time. He wasn't laid there for the first time. Let's just get down to business and tell it like it is. They saw him for the first time. Why? Because now they had spiritual eyes to see with. They had spiritual ears to hear with. And they walk in and moan.
Whoa.
Well, don't. Shh, I don't want you laughing. Just don't smile. You're lame. So just moan.
Oh. Oh.
Now you're growling. All right. So you get the point. These two walk up to him and they see him for the first time. Whoa, this is powerful. What happens? The same Holy Ghost that now lives and dwells in him, he's in you for a purpose. And it, like I said, it's not just to speak in tongues. He's in you for a purpose. Don't you want purpose for your life? Before you check out of here, whenever that might be for you, don't you want to at least, don't you want, of course you do, everybody wants to leave here being able to say, my life counted. My life counted. You did something with your life. And I'm not talking through education and political achievements and all sorts of athletic achievements. I'm talking about the greatest achievement you can ever leave this world having had made is to allow Holy Spirit to burn so passionately and so fervently inside you that you changed another human being. And they walked up and they saw him. And you be Peter, and you be Peter and John. You be John, me, I mean. And so you walk up, and they're on the way to prayer meeting, and they see him for the first time. And Peter says, and beg for alms. And say, I want money, I need money.
Money.
Just say, I need money.
I need money. I need it.
My check bounced.
I've got no food.
I've ran out of food stamps. You laugh? You laugh? Okay. Our government shut down yesterday or today because we've got a bunch of overpaid politicians who love their job more than they love the nation. Oh, don't even get me going. But I guarantee you one thing didn't shut down, and that was all of their big fat salaries. You know what? In our country, God is simply getting the attention. Oh, he's just started. Getting the attention of the United States of America, because he's going to show us the Republicans don't have it. The Democrats don't have it. The churches don't have it. Who has it? That precious little group called the remnant of God, who's been on their faces before God. Woo! Who've been ignited with fire from on high. You watch what happens. You're going to hear about it over here. Food stamps are going to go. Welfare is going to go. Social Security will go. And here's what will come. Silver and gold. Say it.
Silver and gold.
Welfare checks.
Welfare checks.
Social Security checks.
Social Security checks.
Food stamps.
Food stamps.
Government assistance.
Government assistance.
National health care.
National health care.
Obamacare.
Obamacare.
I don't have.
I don't have.
I've got something even better.
I've got something even better.
He just got into me yesterday. Say it.
He just got into me yesterday.
And science has proven what goes in.
And science has proven what goes
must
in.
Come out.
Must come out.
I am full of the Holy Ghost.
I am full of the Holy Ghost.
I don't have what you're begging for.
I don't have what you're begging for.
But I do have something.
But I do have something.
Taken by the hand. What I have, I give unto you free of charge.
What I have, I give unto you free of charge.
Be healed.
Be healed.
And he leaps to his feet, and the Bible says he went through the temple leaping and praising God. Yeah, go for it. Go for it. Give him one of these. Give him one of these. All of it. Go on. Give him one of these. Come on. You are about to receive a mighty move of God. You know what? Some time ago, I was telling the folks last evening, it's been several years ago, I was at home and I took a shower that day, and I've took one since, but God talks to me a lot in the bathroom. That particular day, I was in the shower and I looked at the shower curtain and I saw Australia the whole country, the whole continent. And I saw you're in New Zealand. And you're familiar with that TV show program, Bonanza? Dun da da 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 dun da da. You seen it, okay. Well, you see how the whole Ponderosa thing's all lit up with fire? Stay with me. Well, I looked and God spoke to me and he says, look, and I saw all of Australia with fire burning all around the perimeter of their nation. Fire of God. And I saw New Zealand and it had the same fire of God burning all around its borders. Stay with me. And then the Lord said to me, now look again. And I looked. And God says, I'm sending my fire, the fire of revival, to all of Australia. And I'm not indicating at all that they're less than you, nor is God. So I get tired of the Aussies saying stuff like that about you, and I get tired of you saying that about them. I mean, dear Lord, where's the love of God at? You're not going to be known in heaven as Kiwis. You're going to be known as kings. Priests. Come on. And so God says, take another look. And I saw, and I looked, and I saw all of Australia burning up with the fire around its borders. But then I saw New Zealand, and there was not fire no longer burning around you, the borders of your nation. Your entire nation was one gigantic flame of fire. The whole nation was consumed with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Come on! Come on! Burning up with the fire of God. Woo! So I said, God, what is that? And he says, I'll tell you exactly what it is. There's a new season coming. There's, and this was about 10, 12 years ago. He said, there's a new season coming. And he says, when that new season arrives, and it has, he says, this entire nation, north all the way down to South Island, will become consumed. Just consumed with my holy fire, God says. And then the Lord gave me this word. Flying in our airplane, we were flying over here on Friday last week, and I was sitting there in my seat, and I was looking out the window that morning, and I was watching the sun come up, and the Holy Spirit come all over me again, and he spoke these words to me, and they're very, 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 very powerful. The Spirit of God said to me, he says, now, hear this, the new season has arrived, and I meant what I said, and I said to you what I meant. He says, I've put a torch of fire in your hands. And I commissioned you to take that torch to nations all around the world. And I told you as a small boy that I would send you to nations around the world, and then there would come a time when you would think that you fulfilled your job and your mission and you were done. And that was just about 6-7 months ago. And then the Lord reminded me, but then I told you there would come the last season of all seasons. And I would multiply this 1,000-fold. And I will pour something into you to pour out to the nations of this world if you are willing to be wasted on Jesus and to be poured out upon the nations of this world where I send you. He says, for starters, there will be no one able to fly into New Zealand or fly out of New Zealand or sail into New Zealand or sail out of New Zealand without becoming ignited or experiencing the fire of the living God. Come on, give it up for Jesus right now. To release the fire of God that you burn with. And help me God right now to get this out of here. Whoa, listen to here. I have heard so many great, great, great prophets trying to pinpoint where the next great move of God's going to come. Some say in the U.S., well, it's going to go to Brazil first because Randy Clark's down there a lot, and it's going to come up through Miami. It's going to go up the eastern seaboard, up through Antarctica, and I do believe Antarctica is going to experience one of the greatest moves of God with the fire of the Holy Spirit that it's ever witnessed in its day. But the Lord's laid this in my heart, and I'm telling you, I know when I hear from God. And I'm telling you right now, the mother of all revivals, I believe, is going to be birthed out of this nation. Seriously. Seriously. Why, Jim? It doesn't mean you're better than any other nation. So don't even go there. Doesn't mean that God loves you anymore. But God calls. And God also chooses. Many are called. Few are chosen. And I also believe that applies to nations. You're in a nation, I believe, that is not on God's call list. It's on His chosen list. And God told me, He said, ask of me for the nations. And I'll give the nations to you and Didi for an inheritance. And I told the Lord that day in the shower, I said, give me New Zealand. I said, give it to me. And the Lord says, I'll give you that nation as an inheritance. And it'll be the first of many, many, many nations that I give you. What will you do with them? And I'm telling you, I felt the Holy Ghost come all over me like syrup on pancakes. I'm not joking. It was powerful. And I says, God, you give them to me, and I will gladly, with honor, I want the privilege of walking into heaven and giving you all of those nations and laying them down at your feet. In the season that we're now in, you don't have the luxury. I guess a part of me would wish you did, but you don't. You have, if you're doing this, you have to stop playing this silly game called my church is better than this church. It has nothing to do with that. There has been enough deposit, and there's been so many seeds planted in this nation. Well, you ought to be able to burn with the light of God and illuminate the power grid of the entire world. And you're going to, but in a spiritual sense. Shadow healing is back. Peter, the same Peter that took the lame man by the hand, is the same Peter that was so filled with the Holy Spirit that the Bible says he had nowhere else in Peter to get. Now that's pretty full. So he got in his shadow. And when word got out that Peter was in town and walking by their way, the people would bring out their lame and their diseased and their sick and lay them on the street in hopes that when Peter passed by, his shadow would come upon them, and it would, and they would be instantaneously healed. When this guy here, what's your name again? Brian. When Brian is at home lying in the bed, I hope it happens tomorrow morning, Brian.
So do I.
When he's home, when he's home lying in bed and it's like 4:35 a.m. and the Holy Spirit comes up and just hovers over Brian's bed and he says to Brian, okay, get up and get dressed. I have an assignment for you. And you don't have to take none of your Jesus paraphernalia. I just want you to get in the car. Brian goes to grab his breath mints, to brush his teeth. Holy Spirit, no, I don't even care if you have fresh breath. Because I won't be using you to speak. And I want you to go to the hospital, and I want you to find the floor or the ward where they have all the cancer patients. And I want you to, as a secret agent, I want you to quickly go in each room and be quick about it and get up close enough to each cancer patient till your shadow comes upon them and quickly move on to the next. And then I want you to go home. And he goes home. Later that day, he turns on, his daughter calls him and says, "Turn on the news. You're never going to believe it." And Brian turns on the TV, and there are all those cancer patients standing in the parking lot with their loved ones, with all these scans and reports and test results, and no one has cancer anywhere. And all they're talking about is, "Well, I was laying there. I was asleep still because it was only 5 o'clock in the morning, but then I felt the shadow come on me. And then I was healed." As long as you don't care who gets the credit, as long as you don't care if you remain hidden and invisible, God's going to use you. Final words. In this room is a remnant. May 27th, 1997, I had the worst dream of my life. Never had one like that since. Hope to God I never have another one. But I had it that night. And I knew it was a dream that God gave me. I have journaled it, and I've got it tucked away. But I was standing inside of a very, very popular church in the States. They have their own flavor. I mean, they're very, very, very well known by everyone, a lot of people around the world in the body of Christ. And there, I was standing inside their foyer, I looked inside the sanctuary because I could hear some noise, and I walked in, poked my head in the door, and all these awesome worship bands were doing sound checks, and they were tuning their musical instruments, and the singers and the praise and the worship band singers were just, they were checking out, testing their voices with the PA system and the tech guys, and it was just, you know, just everybody was getting ready and doing their thing. And I went back out in the foyer, and here's from one end to the other, it was like a holy flea market. It was like all these booths and stands are set up. Somebody had T-shirts for sale that had Bible verses on them. Others had anointing oil, 50 different fragrances. Others had glory hoops and banners and whatever. Others had shawls and shirts and summer shorts with the little fish emblem on them, and you know, everything. It just looked like a shopping store, and everybody's plugging into their electrical outlets, their credit card machines, and everybody's showcasing their tables, trying to attract customers from the next person's booth over here to them. All the speakers had their tables set up with their latest, newest book filled with how-to steps to do everything but become Jesus. And it was just, oh, it was just intense. And I stood there, and I kept noticing, the windows in the lobby were huge. And I kept looking out when it was a brilliant, sunny day like today. And out in the sky was this cloud. Don't ask me how I could see it, but it looked about like this. And I could tell, though, I could see it, but no one else in that building at that moment could seem to see it. Or if they did, they didn't care. But it had like, it was in the form of a face. And immediately in my dream, I was caught up in the spirit and I am now above the cloud. And I could see it from a different dimension, a different perspective. And the cloud was huge. It wasn't little. It was massive. And it got so low to the earth's atmosphere and it did this. And it just like inhaled. It seemed like it inhaled all the evil on the planet. And its cheeks got so huge and large. And then all around that church building, it like belched out a deadly tornado funnel cloud. And it released seven of them. And they were all strategically placed. And I thought, oh my God. Oh my. This is beyond bad. No, I'm not in the sky. I'm back in the church. And the pressure, I could tell what was getting ready to happen. It was like something evil was in that big cloud. And it was just about to give the word now. And I just knew. And you could feel the pressure in the lobby. Like before, I don't know if you get tornadoes here, but we get them in the States. And it's just the pressure is horrible. And you can hear one when it's getting ready to hit. It just sounds like a roaring freight train coming at you full speed. And I started running because I knew what was happening. We were going to get hit. And I ran into the auditorium and I was yelling as loud as I could, "Hey, stop! You don't have time for that. We need to get going some. We need to get out of here. We need to go hide because the ultimate of storms is going to hit." They looked at me and laughed and said, "Oh, it's just Jim with another of his sermons or whatever, whatever." So I got out there and I went to all the booths and I was telling all people, I said, "Just walk away. Just walk away. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about product, sales, anything. Come with me." And God spoke to me and he says, "Gather a remnant and go into my hiding place. They're not listening. You don't have time. You're out of time." I cannot express to you in my dream how I felt when I heard God say, "You're out of time." And I just stood there in that lobby and I said, "Anyone who's part of the remnant, come with me, follow me. We have to go into the hiding place." And all of a sudden, I saw two gigantic, just enormous set of hands come down from heaven. And they opened up like this. And I could somehow, I somehow knew they were the hands of God. And they opened up and me, Dee Dee, our family, the remnant, and there were thousands. Don't kid yourself. The remnant, it's a huge number, but small in comparison to the size of the body of Christ who were calling themselves Christians. But they followed us into these hands. And when the last one went in, thud. The hands folded. And where the fingers like would be open, they were sealed. And it became like concrete walls on the inside. And as soon as the hands shut and closed, I could hear that big cloud in the heavens. And it yelled out the word, "Now." Not at once, but all seven of those tornado clouds let loose at the same time. And we could hear people banging on the door. "Let us in. We repent. Let us in. We repent." And we would cry. I said, I'm trying, but I don't see a doorknob. There was no door. There were no windows. There was nothing. And finally, you heard no outside voices. Here's the good part. Everyone in that shelter was transformed at the exact same time. You could do this with your eyes. That quickly. Everyone's clothes were missing, but there was no nakedness. We had all instantly been clothed in a garment of such brilliant light. You couldn't hardly look. Nobody had pupils. only fire flames. And I remember seeing a little boy, 5-7 years old, that had lightning bolts coming forth from his fingertips. And I looked at everybody and I said, God, what is that? He said, it's the glory of God coming forth from the hands of the remnant. And suddenly, the storm didn't last long, but its devastation is indescribable. The hands started opening up slowly, and I'm telling you, it looked as if nuclear bombs had been dropped everywhere. And the destruction. There were half dead, half alive people. The only thing I could compare it to was when I watched on the internet just a few weeks ago those civilians in Syria who had been poisoned with sarin gas, and they were breathing, little children, foaming at the mouth, eyes rolling back. They were in the throes of death. But this remnant came out. We didn't say nothing. We would point our fingers and literally raise the dead. You would point your finger and extend your hand and command a tree to blossom, and it was blossomed immediately. We were bringing the kingdom of God everywhere we went. I wish I didn't have that dream, but I know it's from God. I would like, and I open and I close with the same thing. I would have loved tonight to have come to you with the pep rally message. But when I leave here, he'll talk to me. And he'll either say, you did what I told you to do, I'm pleased. Or he'll say, you were more concerned with pleasing the people than you were with me. We have lost the luxury of time. We don't have it no more. And I broke down the other night, one night before we flew here. One of our largest leaders in India with our ministry quit. And I just sat in my recliner in her living room, and I looked at Dee Dee and I just began to cry. I says, why do I feel like we won't get them all? We won't reach them all. We won't reach everyone. We won't. But I believe everyone, God is extending every human being the opportunity to hear the gospel message and to experience the Father heart and the love of God, and to see the demonstration of the power of Holy Spirit in their lifetime. I want that for you. Hold your hands out. Listen, I'm no famous preacher. I'm no famous conference speaker. I could have been, but the Lord asked me, do you want to be popular or do you want to be effective? I said effective. Not at first. Actually, I said both. And then he got me down to one. But I hope and pray that we are invited to this nation again next year, because I feel a mandate on my life, me and Diane both. Indeed, I want you to come up here real quick if you can get her a mic. I want you to just share something, release something that God's laying on your heart throughout this service, throughout this meeting. But I'm telling you right now, I feel like while we have time, I want to come, and this isn't everybody run for cover. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying we still have time. The window's still open, and the door is still open. Your nation is on the heart of God, and it's beating wildly for you folks. It is going to get dark, but the whole world, not right now, the whole world is not going to go up in a nuclear plume of smoke. But we have to shift gears, and we have to get radically serious about our pressing into God until lightning strikes. God is wanting to erase from your life powerless Christianity. I want the power of God evidenced and demonstrated and manifested through my life. And I have a feeling you do too.